Tequila November 4 whiskey back over.
W4NGU.
W4NGU, A4Q, how you doing?
Did you mention the other day that you had modeling software?
Bill does. I have some, but I really haven't used it much. Bill's much better on it than I am.
An idea. I want him to model for me when he can.
Okay. I'll tell him that to look for him. He may be on here in a minute. I'm heading over to his house right now.
I'm just leaving mine, so we're probably pretty close.
I'm just now getting onto it. So, went to bed this morning and then took my better half out to breakfast. And here we are. So I'm running a little bit late. I wanted to get over there at 9:30. It'd be about, I'll be close.
Well, I'm headed to work. I don't usually work on Saturday, but we're dedicating a building. And I'm going to have a big shindig, so I got to go for that. But it's kind of a simple antenna. Can I tell you about it, or you think Phil might be on here?
Oh, you can tell me about it.
Well, if you take a 60-foot tower and put the shield of the coax at the 60-foot level, and then you put the center of the coax to a sloping wire that's a quarter wave on 160, no ballon, just plain like that. Just, I guess you'd say the tower is the counterpoise. I got no problem with using a ballon if it's needed, but just putting the braid on the tower 60 feet up and sloping the wire out to a quarter wave resonant at 160 or 80 or 40 or something like that. Just how what's viability factor on that?
Can help y'all put something up similar to that, but it's more like a off-center fed dipole. It's directional, has a low angle of radiation, more of a DX type thing. And he's using a tuner, but you. The way it appears, a 4-to-1 ballon would probably work pretty good with it. He can model that. He can probably tell you off the top of his head because he's modeled these things on what that would do. But isolator at the bottom, and to essentially make the 50-60 foot drop off one side of the antenna. So that's the difference. I see what you're doing. Put an isolator back there, and he is. I'm not sure exactly how he has it fed, but I think for the isolator to work. Anyway, he has one down at the bottom, MFJ isolator, and that makes that bottom leg a certain length. It's much like the Carolina wind.
Talkie.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I got about 95%, but it's kind of tough in a little one spot. Well, talk to him about it. I just can't believe it's that simple as the one I've described, because I've got that ON4NU book or whatever, the guy that's supposed to be the big low-band antenna authority, and he's got inductors and capacitors and tune it and isolate the tower from ground and just endless complications. But I know a man that has worked 130 countries on 160 with the configuration I've just described to you. I just can't believe it's that simple.
Better at the bottom.
Nothing. And I don't understand what you mean at the bottom, of the wire or the tower.
All right. There's a feed. Well, you're feeding that, feeding the top, what do you want to call it, a splitter between the hot and ground side of the dipole up there. You know, you're not going to use the other half of the dipole, the ground side. That is being carried out by the coax that's going down to the ground, and about 50 feet, you put the isolator on there. What he put up is really for 80 meters. It's really not cut for 160, but it's more for 80. So, he can tell you more about it, but it's a MFJ coax isolator.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be any problem. Well, it's interesting in its simplicity anyway.
Does he tune it with a tuner, or how does he do that?
That's got it resonant for 40 meters.
Okay. You talking about, is that supposed to be for 40 meters, or is it span antenna source?
You know, Bill, it's actually for 160. I think he said he did some tuning and it worked on 40, but he put it up to be a 160.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. I've talked to him about it. He's done a lot of modeling with that type of configuration, and he's just a week or two. And so we're
going to
try it out today.
My question was good timing.
Yeah, it was. That's quite well. Yeah, he can tell a whole lot about it. He can stick it in the model. I think I talked about it. I haven't had time to use it. But it appears it's going to work pretty good.
You're a little bit marginal, and you're probably about where you're going now. So I'm going to sign with you, but I'll be anxious to hear the results.
Well, we'll keep it posted there, and I'll talk to them about it. So we'll catch you later, and appreciate the chat. BC4QO.
See you, brother. W4NGU.
4NGU, KB4CPA. How are you doing, Phil?
Hey, David, you headed to play tennis in this cold weather?
Believe it. Oh, yeah. I heard you say you have to work today.
Heading a baseball building right behind home plate. And so we're going to do that and watch a baseball game in this cold weather. But we'll be inside and warm eating hot dogs and hamburgers.
That building in style.
Who's there?
Oh, sir, I was just saying, that's the best part of the ball game.
And cooked right there on the grill, outside.
Yeah. I get all the good work.
We get paid to do it.
Tell ya.
Actually.
My younger daughter and her family moved in with us. They sold their house, and they've been here about a month. Well, today they're moving out, and they found a house to rent, so when I get through playing tennis, guess what I'll be doing?
Oh, I'm glad I'm going to be working.
Turned that good.
I guess painting and moving, they're both right up there at about the same level. I'd just soon take a beating as do either one.
KN4 WQQ.
Hey, Bronkin, how you doing? Well, David, while I'm thinking of it, one of these first days, you need to get that guy's trailer. Let's go get your toolbox.
I do need to do that. So I'll work on that. Don't let me run. I'm in the parking lot. Y'all have a good day. 73 is KB4CBA.
All right, we'll see you. And when we do that now, I'm going to be the driver. I'm not going to, if it's as heavy as you say, I'm not going to attempt to be the guy on the other side of it. So, but I'll lend you my vehicle. I'll be the driver. See you later. Go ahead, Bronkin.
Hey, how you doing? This is Phil, right?
It is.
How we doing this bright, chilly morning?
I was kidding, but somebody texted me this morning that he was out with his dog and it was snowing in Greer.
That's to be a big negative. I don't think so.
Before the sun was up, I don't know if that's even possible, but it's probably cold enough, isn't it? I just don't think we have the moisture.
Article here says 41, so I think it was like 35 this morning earlier. But you're up towards the mountains, so it's probably colder there.
I'm going in Tennessee, so a little of it could have drifted down this way, maybe.
You know, you going to make it Tuesday afternoon for lunch?
I doubt it. I don't know. I need to start trying to put that in my schedule. It's just such a long trek from where I'm at. I really need to plan to go somewhere else for the afternoon and not go back to the office because it requires me to be gone for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to pull off. I didn't realize that. I thought you were more mobile than that.
But I try to tell them I've been somewhere to see somebody if I'm out of the office for, you know, hours and hours.
Do like me and just say, well, I got stuff in traffic.
Well, I'll just say, look, I got stuff to do. Well, if one of you guys would give me a dollar, I could technically say that you're a donor now.
Get the other big Steve and me, I'll give you 50 cents if he will.
Well, I'm home free then. End of the day.
KN4WQQ, I'm going to check out. I got a big basketball game to go to for about 2 or 3 hours.
All right, brother, have a good day. Enjoy talking to you. Glad you called in. W4NGU. DJW Mobile. They'd like to talk too.
Nearly nailed 2 deer that jumped across the road in front of me in front of Sandy Flat. 2 of them. They were about 5 feet from the bumper, and I was going 45 miles an hour. Hit the brakes, everything flew forward in the car. But they made it. That was close.
Oh, I thought you said you hit them, so you missed them.
I see them coming out of the side. I didn't see them till they were in the other lane coming through my lane, and then I just saw their heads and butts going up and down as they went in front of the car.
One the other day myself, they can sure cause some damage. I didn't miss one about 15 years ago, and it really tore up the car.
Sitting down in a car, their heads are higher than you are, your head. Those are pretty big deer.
Snow White Lincoln Continental, back when they were a big car. And it hit at the front quarter panel and kind of rolled. Hit me at kind of an angle. And rolled all the way down the front quarter panel, crushed in both doors on that side, the back quarter panel, and knocked out the rear tail light.
Oh, what happened to the deer?
The deer made a transition to another world.
The 2 deer. When he was going across there, he took a dump. You must have scared him too.
That's funny. Well, when this deer hit the door handle, whenever it hit, a big chunk of deer hair stuck in the door handle. And when I had the adjuster come out to look it all over, he said, "Well, I certainly believe you. Look at that hair right there."
Good to get a little bit of evidence. One thing they're saying, they say if you're going to have a collision, it might be a hit and run. Get you some paint. I guess you got some paint.
Sure did. But, excuse me. Dave, what I'll talk to you about sometime when I've got a pencil and paper and you got a little time and the phone would be better, or a cup of coffee or something. I heard you loud and clear the other day about your dad's grounding knowledge and now your knowledge, and I need to do some first-class job grounding on these towers I'm going to put up, and I don't want to do it halfway, and I know I can learn a lot from you, and I want you to give me a little 30-minute treatise on that sometime, maybe in person, or maybe me buy you a meal or something. But I don't want to halfway do it, and I was hearing you loud and clear on how it needed to be done, and I'm going to get the full story.
Watch those YouTube videos. When I come across one, when I'm looking for something else and I come across one that's on grounding, I usually stop and watch it, and it's really, really good. You know, you can think you've got it all figured out, and sometimes I do that, and I think I've got it all figured out, and then it pays to get another set of eyes on it. Like, I'll run it past Johnny, and he'll say, "Wait a minute, this is a shorter path to ground." So it always pays to get more than one opinion on that, on grounding, because just one little change to your shack can make a world of difference.
And how did your dad get his grounding knowledge if he was hired for such a specialty job like that?
Electrical engineer for Milliken anyway. So usually he did all the engineering for, like, the problem areas of the plant. Like, one time he was explaining to me that they had a 600 horsepower motor that was bolted to the floor, and when the power company would shut off power and switch it to another location, that motor would turn into a generator, and when the and it started generating power, and then when the power company would turn the power back on, those two surges would hit each other, and it'd rip the bolts out of the floor, and the motor would go flying across the shop. So he had to come up with a solution to solve that. That was his job at Deering Milliken, was to solve problems like that. And grounding, one of them, one time, was a plant that just kept getting hit by lightning over and over and over again. And Roger Milliken got tired of it, and he said, "Fix it. I don't care what it costs." So he had to fix it.
That's a story you told me when I was out there, and I thought that was really interesting. The lightning can sure wreak some havoc, and one question I got for you when we talk is, I'm going to put a TV antenna, for just a conventional over-the-air antenna that's on my chimney. I want to put it up about 50 feet on a tower, and you don't usually disconnect your TV. I can disconnect my ham stuff, but if I tell everybody, "Oh, well, got a lightning storm coming up, let's turn off the TV," that doesn't fly too good. So is there a way to properly protect against that, or should I just keep it at a lower altitude and put a preamp on it? I need a little more gain than what I'm getting.
TV antenna, like a dish or a Yagi or a what?
Yagi.
Who with it is, you need, well, you can always get more elements if you need more gain.
Well, it pixelates, and I'd rather not put a rotator on it if I had, you know, could get away with it. We might come to that, of course. But it's not rusted. It's brand new. Somebody gave it to me, actually. And I just figure if I could get it a little bit higher, I'd be fine. But I don't want it to get bring lightning to my TV.
A few feet is going to make that much difference in the lightning. If you get your grounding right to where the ground has a path, the lightning has a path to ground before it, goes through the TV to get the ground. I mean, there, if lightning's going to hit it, it's going to hit it. It doesn't matter how high or low. So I wouldn't worry about raising it up. But I would worry about making sure that the path of least resistance to ground from the antenna goes outside the house, never comes inside the house. And you do that by going direct to ground with the most surface area you can get. Electricity travels out on the surface, and that's why they use those flat sheets of copper at the base of a tower to go into the ground to make the path of least resistance go directly from the tower to the ground as quick as possible before it ever has an opportunity to get into the building.
It's what I got to get worked out before I blow up Mama's TV. She wouldn't like that much.
One thing you got to remember, too, it's dangerous. There's all kinds of solutions. There are solutions that will just do a quick disconnect and a reset. That's what Johnny was entertaining for an external antenna that we've got to put up for the control antenna, rather than all the expense that it takes, because it can get expensive getting your grounding right. So if you don't want to go through all that expense, there's things that are just a little less protective, but still, on that 99.999% of the time, it's going to fix the problem. Like those lightning arresters that go through, your antenna has to come through to get to the inside, the gas ones that can reset themselves. Sometimes that can be a better option.
I'll spend a few dollars. It's not like I got to replicate it 20 times.
And it's always good to get good experience with that. And before you do the investment and you do all the work, run it by several people, not just any one person. Because sometimes one person will pick something out that another person missed. It just happens that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get a tower up in the next few months. I've been licensed 50 years. Well, I was going to say this month, but I guess this is March now. And all I've ever had is an inverted V. I had a three-element monoband 15-meter beam on the chimney one time when I was 15 years old. I worked a lot of places with that and enjoyed it. But everything since then has been an inverted V, which is fine if it's high enough, but it's never been high enough, and I've just never had a real nice antenna. So I'm looking forward to get connected to the ionosphere a little better.
Well, I had no idea you were a licensed ham for 50 years. Back in high school, you were a licensed ham. Did you talk to the local area hams around here on the 2 meters when they were putting that up in the 70s?
Oh, yeah, I remember standing in my driveway when 0161 went on. But I'd been a member for years before that to the Greer Club, and I started to kid you and say, yes, I was licensed as an infant. But it was 1970, so I guess that's somewhere around 15 years old.
I think Brian Wilson got his license back then, too. Did you know him and his dad, Ken Wilson? They went to East Side as well, but they were a couple of years behind, Brian did, not his dad, but he got his license back then, too. He just never used it. That's when the CB thing was getting real big, and at East Side, I don't know if you remember that, but he went out and got his ham license because his dad was a ham. My dad was a ham, and I didn't chomp on the bit that young, but he did. Did you ever talk to him?
I don't think so, Dave. I probably did. I'd love to see a picture of him sometime. I didn't remember his call that you told me a long time ago. But I was quite fortunate back then. The Greer Club was a closed society, and I had to get special permission. Several guys vouched for me that knew me and my family. I thought I was trying to get elected president or something, and they let me in. And it wasn't even open back then.
A really good club to get into. I just got into the Briars Club before the Greer Club. I've gone to a few of their meetings, and I was actually a member for a few years, too. But that and airplanes and work and everything else, you know, you can only do so much. But they've got a really good club with a lot of knowledge, a lot of really good knowledge.
Yeah, I enjoy it. And, you know, I came to the Greenville Club several years ago, and I was going to SCDXA on Thursday nights, and it just got to be too much. So I just go to Greer, and I've missed about the last four or five SCDXAs. Just seems something hits on that night every time. But now that they're just going to meet four times a year, SCDXA that is, I hope to start making them more regularly.
Nonetheless, a really good place to meet. That's a hard one to bypass. But usually I hear about it when one of the local hams around here is on their way there, and I'm listening after work, and I'm not completely finished with work yet, so I can't get up and leave. Or I would go to one, too.
The Greer Club has done some phenomenal projects over the years. I mean, back when I was in it the first time, we built a nice frequency counter out of Nixie tubes, and etched our own boards. And I mean, and I understand over the years that the club has sold hundreds of those kits worldwide. They don't do it anymore. And we built a receiver and a transmitter, and it was a very active building club, and I think we're getting back into some projects now. They have to be chosen carefully because nobody wants to do any soldering 80-pin chips, you know. It's just too exacting. But we've got a little project now that a guy in the club, for $20, he ordered a phenomenal amount of parts, an Arduino and all kind of stuff to go with it. And we're doing Arduino learning and projects and stuff. And, of course, you've been doing it all your life, but it's kind of fun for me to actually program and make something as simple as a light blink at a different rate rather than putting a different capacitor in there. I mean, you know, actually telling it what to do, that's just cool to me.
Certainly understand the cool factor. I've been doing it since the 70s and 80s, or since right after my dad told me you need to get into computers. I asked him why, and then I had to take a class, and that's why. It was obvious at that point. But you're right, it's still magic to me. I still do it all the time, and when I get a brand new one set up and working and I look at it and it functions like that, it's like, wow, that is really cool. So you don't have to twist my arm to convince me. I know it. It's just, it's like magic. That stuff really works.
Steve, how we come up with stuff every month, it's interesting. We've got some good leadership over there and some good guys in the club that take turns doing programs and stuff, and I really like it. Anyway, I'm going to sign off, Dave, but I do want to buy you a meal somewhere, and let's just sit down and make some notes and about grounding. Have a good day, my friend, W4NGU.
Enjoy the beautiful day. It is up to the mountain this morning. It's cold out there, but it sure is clear and pretty. Anyway, good talking to you, Phil. Have a good one. W4NGU, W4DJW Mobile.
4CTD Mobile.
Quiet. Appreciate you tagging me on that pick and place. CNC machine. I don't know if they call it CNC. I guess it's computer numerical control. But that was pretty cool. A pick and place machine for less than 4K. That is nice.
No, actually, it's not pick and place. It's filter. It's layer lines machine. That's what I thought was cool. And for one off for Raspberry Pi size.
I saw that, and you can get the packages that go with it at various sizes, various kits. That would be pretty cool. We need one of those. We need a couple of those.
Yeah, I don't mean, it's been a long time since I've had to build a board, and the last time I prototyped a board, it was the rub-off style, and that's been a while. But it'd be really cool to do something like that, and, you know, fairly quick by old standards.
The kind you're talking about, the kind you mask and you dump it in an acid and then you pull it out and rub it off, or something different than that?
It's like let's see here. The ones I did, they were just scratch off. You just put them right onto the board and you rubbed them off onto the board, and it transferred from the paper onto the board. Really meant for a very, very low voltage and, you know, nothing fancy. Dad used to etch them and then develop them.
I like the rub off. That's kind of like they make pins now that you can draw a circuit with a pin and hook it up, and it'll actually work.
Before, and you know, I kind of associated those with the rub off, the scratch off kind. Same by one. But again, you know, you wonder about how much power you can put through one of those.
It's kind that you. It's got one sheet of copper across the whole top of it and the bottom if you want to do through hole and connect to the other sheet. And you machine away everything except for the lines. That's kind of fun.
Copper. I do like this idea better, where they just, you know, put down a thermal set conductive layer. But, you know, that board, it's only a two-sided board, but for most of what we do, you only need double-sided.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, for what I've done so far, we only need one side. But it would be nice to have another side.
Your converter, that give you one side for your traces and one side as a ground plane.
Are you at 11? You gone past the waterfall yet, or you just now getting on 11?
I just got on 11. I'm about 9 miles to the right turn, Peanut Man.
Past the Peanut Man. He's not there this morning. There's nobody even on the side of the road there.
So a better marker is I'm due north of North Greenville University.
Opportunity for a Peanut Man up here at the, well, no, there, yeah, he, and he's here at the waterfall. I guess that's the Peanut Man. He's got two American flags flying. I don't see the boiler, though. Yeah, that's the guy that sells wigs. I don't know how he sells wigs out here in the middle of nowhere.
He sells wigs? I've never seen that before.
Go by there. He's got mannequin heads sitting out on the tabletop, and they got wigs and hats sitting on them. I guess the hat keeps the wig from flying off in the air.
Oh, well, that's too funny.
Off to go up the mountain, and that's what I'm about to do. I'm getting off 11 now.
What's been on my radio this morning going up?
I hear WD40YH.
K4OSH.
KN4BEM.
But we haven't given them a break to get in yet. W4DJW.
Well, okay then. Apparently there are people here. KJ4C2D Mobile. Send it to Pat.
H here. I'm at Caesar's Head Park for a pit stop. Snow on the ground up here.
Layers. Lots of layers.
We had actually learned lessons from last time, David.
Yes, last time. That's why this time I've got lots of layers. I'll probably roast.
Send it to Johnny.
I'm going by Oil Camp Creek Road, top entrance. So I'll be up at the top here in just momentarily. Hadn't run into the snow yet.
Well, early birds this time. I wonder if Landon's already there.
Haven't heard anything out of him this morning.
Just leaving the Sunoco. I'm just KN4BEM on the way up. I should be up there right at about 10.
So holler when you get close. We'll let you in.
Now that I got on my, I was having some trouble with my tires and everything. I had to go into two different places three different times this week to get new lugs and studs and everything. And I'm glad I got all my tires taken care of last night before coming up the mountain today.
How bad was it? They have to replace a lot of them?
I just went in for tire rotation, and one of the lugs was frozen up. They said they couldn't get it off without bringing in the stud, and then I had like three other lugs that were missing. So then I had to take it to another place to get, they said actually I think six of the studs were bad. So but, and they said they could have just replaced the hubs, but it's so old they couldn't find anywhere to buy the hubs. So they just had to replace the studs and put new lugs and everything. So then I had to take it back once that was done, take it back to get everything, get the tires rotated and balanced.
Around on new stuff now, you'll be fine. Make a trip across country and be okay.
About it. The main thing to do is the everything's out of alignment. They said it'd be about $1,000 to fix the alignment because it's so bad. They need new parts and everything. And the truck is, you know, I don't know. $1,000 is getting pretty close to the value of the truck. So I got to make a decision.
To have on it.
$1,000.
Serviced regular.
Until I got it, I think. Hey, I just don't know anything about vehicles. So I've been learning a little bit more recently, but, you know, I don't know. One thing goes wrong and another thing goes wrong, but it's really not that bad. It really has low mileage, in my opinion, for a 94. So, you know, I don't know that I've ever replaced the same thing on it twice. You know, it's always just one thing or another.
Well, the 150, the 100,000 mile marks when you start seeing little things like tie rod ends and ball joints and stuff like that start to give trouble, especially if they've not been serviced or are unserviceable. So that would be expected. It might be worth fixing to keep from having to have a truck payment.
I really like not having to pay for more stuff each month, you know, in addition to what we've already got. So people always say, oh, the maintenance on my car is killing me. I got to buy a brand new car. And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, really, is the maintenance killing you? It's really not that bad. At least it hasn't been for me.
And once you get above 200,000.
This is pretty much my just get around town truck. It's not super often that I take it on long trips. Of course, I'll be driving it up to Illinois when I move up there, but then once we're up there, I don't expect to be taking long trips in it. So it's kind of my get around town vehicle.
I was digging for the card to get in.
G4WNG mobile.
There he is.
I just passed. Was that the weight guy you're talking about?
He usually beats us all here.
Weight guy.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. I'm going in and out with these curves on the road, and my ears are popping, so I'm not hearing so good.
Behind you guys today. Got into some things, but I'm on the way now. But since you're already at the gate, I'll be a little bit, probably 12 minutes later.
You've always waited on me. I think we can wait on you.
A little shocked to hear you say you were at the gate, and it was still a 9 on that hour mark.
That people's got stuff they want to get done this afternoon and the weather's pretty, so come on up here and get it done.
A lot of traffic on the mountain.
Three cars and I'm almost to the top. There's people over there at Bald Rock, though.
Well, but that's usually where I lose a lot of time is if I get stuck behind people there, but I wasn't sure today. It might be too cold for too many people to be out, even though it's not that bad.
Gage said 41 when I was at the base of the mountain, and then a snowflake appeared just a few minutes ago, so it's dropping.
At my house this morning.
I said that same thing earlier. There was snowing in Greer this morning.
Oh, and it is just a little patch.
Remind you, it is in fact winter since it's been pretty mild this year.
It's 32 degrees at the top of the mountain.
OK4OSH.
Picture?
I'll take a picture of it. It's just a little dusting in the parking lot at State Park.
Jeez.
Cool.
We can declare that. Across from where I'm sitting, it's in the grass on the hill over there.
Clean up there, Pat. W4DJW.
Here, no. The wind is calm at the moment.
But that's a good thing. That was a killer last time, was that wind.
Back and forth on making up their mind what it was going to do today. First they were saying gusts to 20, then they were saying no, calm, no wind, and then gusts to 20. So it might change over the course of the day, but I checked last night and they said it was supposed to be calm.
Calm I can deal with. I'm at the gate, W4DJW.
WMP.
Assassin the weak man. Man at man.
I'm going to go with Pat and Dave and open the gate at the station. Beach.
In front of the guy with the key, K4OSH.
Bad, I can walk. Beach.
Hey, nothing eight.
Not nowhere up here.
Companions are soulless?
It's too cold to see the souls out on the top of the mountain yet. And you guys?
That's always a plus.
Found a really nice place to get warm last time we was here. In for the transmitter.
On the mountain at Asbury, KG4WNP.
I am at the gate to Cliff Ridge. I'm a bald rock. Behind some other people.
Did you say again?
The gate let me in behind a dump truck and somebody else.
So you're in. Well, we're at the top.
Top standing. The GPS coordinates.
Page, be out of the truck.
It's standing, I'll show you where to go. I'll let you know what's loose in your truck. Let you know what's moving around in your truck going up it.
It's white.
Oh, okay.
WD-40YH.
I can't remember where I saved it to.
I can send it to you.
If you don't get it, I'm not that far out now.
BD-40YH.